We'll start now the first session, which is on the production and processing of 3D objects. So we have three sub-teams. The first one would be production of 3D models for humanities, critical state of the art. There will be three presentations, and there will be a break after that, 10 to 15 minutes. And then a second time on annotation over 3D models, and a third one on checking consistency of 3D file formats. And I propose that we start with a talk by presentation by Gabriele Guidi. So I remind you that the goal of this session is not just to listen to talks, it's also to have like 10 minutes talks, approximately 10 minutes, and then something like 7 to 10 minutes discussion. As a moderator, I will try to record also the recommendations and discussion that happen, because at the end of the workshop on Friday morning, we have to work on a white paper from these notes. So I will be taking some notes, but of course I invite all of you to also try to summarize. And the goal is to come up with a fruitful discussion for this workshop.
Thank you very much for the introduction. Sorry for the delay. I wanted to do a quick overview about the many technologies that we have been using in 3D digitization of the humanities. Starting from the classical subdivision that we do between passive and active technologies that you probably know already, but just to have a clear overview of the current status of these technologies. So passive are the most common technologies since many years ago, and the name derives from the fact that in this case the passivity is related to the role of light. In this case, light is just something that allows you to illuminate the scene, to see things. And for generating 3D information from the scene, you need light and contrast. So you have to aim at something or to see some detail in the scene that you are measuring. So this is what happens if you are using a theodolite, like in the common topographic approaches. You have, for example, to aim at the corner of a window or a castle or whatever. And in this way, you can measure angles, and you can measure angles from different places. So at least with two measurements, you have two angular information plus one distance, and you can get the distance of your object from the devices. So the angular information is something that you get also with photogrammetry. And so also with photogrammetry, which is another passive technique, you need to have an illuminated scene, some contrast for seeing the details. And from the angles that you can get from the images that you can take from different positions, at least two, you get the 3D information again, also in this case. There is another passive technologies which is for a different range of scale, which is confocal microscopy, where here again you need contrast, because the confocal microscopy basically is a system for having image from a very small sample using a very limited depth of field. So you see in focus only a certain depth from your device. But for understanding that what is in focus and what is not, of course, you need contrast. So this is again a case where you need the same feature on the other examples. So with active technologies, you may have triangulation, which is in general used for small samples, for small scenes. And so you may have triangulation with just one spot of light, in general is a laser. You may have a plane of light, like in the common 3D scanners that we have used a lot in cultural heritage for small sculptures, up to the big sculpture, the big David by Michelangelo was done with such a technology, or with pattern projection, where instead of having one plane of light impinging on the object, you have many plane of light at once. In any of the previous case, you get the 3D information again from angles. You get a baseline and an angle. So the baseline is the distance between the source of light, of coded light, and the camera. As an alternative, you can have a direct measurement made with again with laser, but in this case you measure directly with a pulse of light that you send on the surface that you want to measure, or by modulating your light and measuring the phase deviation between your light and the received light. You can measure directly a distance, and with the addition of the angular information that you may have by the scanning device, you can get the 3D information. So this is exactly the same thing that happens if you use time of flight or phase shift. And in the laser radar, which is a device similar to phase shift, where you make a continuous shift of frequency, obtaining a much better result in terms of uncertainty of measurement. And interferometry, where this shift is made at light level, so your wave is exactly the wave represented by light, while in the other case you electronically modulate the light. And all these devices generate some bunch of 3D points that are referenced to a reference system which is inside the device. So in general, in cultural heritage, we have found useful to jump over the post-processing step that you may have using some handheld device that are capable to reconstruct in real time the orientation of the data that are captured by the device according to an external other device that is complementary to the first one and gives the 6 degrees of freedom of the head doing the scan. So you may have, for example, a CMM with an arm doing this work, so you get 6 degrees of freedom of the laser scanning head from the arm, plus the 3D information from the head, and you can reorient directly this data in a single reference system. So this job can be done also with a laser tracker, like in this device sold by Leica, or with a vision system trying to understand which are these 6 degrees of freedom of the head, or also in this new device by the company Creaform, using a triangulation tracker for obtaining the orientation. So the same concept or having something external to the 3D, actual 3D device for giving the orientation is the same concept that is used in airborne laser scanner, where you have GPS and inertial system for giving the 6 degrees of freedom of the scanning device, plus the 3D information coming from in general a time of flight laser scanner. And the same is used also if you put this laser scanner on a car or on a robot, or also wearing it, like in this new system that Leica has developed, where you can walk with a backpack, and in this way you can capture 3D data while you walk that are automatically realigned in a global reference system. So every technology has its own pro and cons. So you have you can classify different technologies in terms of sides of the scene that you are going to acquire. So you go from the very, very little details that you may have in some anthropological researches to the objects, to statues, to buildings, section of a city, or even territory. And you have different technologies that can be used accordingly. But in the meantime, you have also, each technology is also characterized by different parameters. For example, one of these parameters is the acquisition speed. So you can see that you can cover different speed of generation of 3D points depending on the actual technology you are talking about. So just to summarize, the production of 3D model is a solved problem. We could say yes, in part, in large part, but depends always on what aspect of the artifact that you are digitizing you are interested in. Because when we talk about 3D digitization, we talk at least of two things. One is physical, one is logical. So let's say the logical thing is related to metadata, descriptions, etc. And this part of another session, say, so I will not speak about that. But relating the acquisition, related to the acquisition of the physical object, we can say that we have to acquire at least the shape, the texture, and the reflectance behavior of the object. For the first part, we say that yes, we have basically is a solved problem. For texture is okay also because of the many photogrammetric approaches that we have now, but even if there is still no standard, in my opinion, for the management of color, for example, which is a very important problem. And the third part, the reflectance, is still something that is very difficult to be acquired. You can do it, technically it's possible if you are in a lab, but it's still too complicated if you want to go on the field and do this the same work. Production of 3D models solve the problem. Well, with active device, we know that we have some pro and con. The con are that the problem has been solved several years ago, but apart from handheld device, we still have several manual steps that have to be done, and so this makes the time processing quite high. The texturing is also in general a separated step, so you need another effort for doing the texture of the model. On the other hand, you have the good part is that the measurement uncertainty of what you get is, in my opinion, more predictable than with photogrammetry. And so is in some way you have a more controllable situation. Photogrammetry is the really is boomed in the last year, so it's something that allowed us to make a lot of project with a low effort. So the con are that the process employ many automatic steps and may result less controllable than others, but this depends very much by the actual software you use. For the non-technical end users, the system is like a black box, and this may be a problem. So you put something in, you don't know exactly what happens, and you get directly the output. Being in this way, if you put trash in, you get trash out. So you have to be very careful about the quality and the protocol that you use for producing the image that you use for the generation of the 3D model. The pro is that the process is fully automatic, so there are really much less manual steps, and this is good. And the mesh is also generated directly with texture, and this is also something that you get somehow for free in the same process. Both things can come out. The quality is something that I feel is important to have in the data, and in some implementation of this structure from motion and image matching systems, we start having the quality attached to the data, and this for me is very important. I know this package, sure, but probably there are also other that are starting to produce this data. So what is still lacking, in my opinion, mass 3D digitization is something that we have still to obtain. There are the good condition for going in this direction. There are interesting projects like the Cult Lab 3D from Fraunhofer, even if it's limited to a certain size. But yes, we have to work on this. Probably I'm running out of time. I don't know if I have to. Yeah. Anyway, this is something we have to discuss about. And also the other point that I think is important is the metrology awareness. So in the end, this seems a thing a bit from engineers, a bit too technical, but actually, in my opinion, it defines the 3D device quality, the working pipeline, the time needed for completing the model, and in the end, it determines the entire cost of a project. So it is very important to define what are your needs. It is not necessary to do every time the most complex, the most accurate model for any application. And so if we manage carefully this part, even the massive 3D digitization can be resolved quite in a reasonable way. And I think that this point, this traceability of the metrological part should be added somehow in the metadata of the 3D model. And all this define another vision of this device that I was describing before. So we have object size, but also we have the uncertainty of the measurement, which is one of these metrological parameters that should be checked for selecting the right technology for a 3D project. Okay, thank you, and sorry for the delay.
Thank you.